Good morning, folks, and welcome to Faith Unscripted, a weekly radio show here on WRCR, where we talk about all things spiritual and religious. So if you have a question, a comment, a concern about your spirituality or your religious life, give us a call. The number is 845-429-1700, and we'd love to get your calls, and we'd love to hear your input, because you are what makes this show special. My name is Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. I'm the pastor of the Clarkstown Reformed Church at 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack. And we would welcome any of you, if you have no church home, to visit us on Sunday mornings at 10:30, where we have our weekly service of worship. And so you're always welcome with us at the Clarkstown Reformed Church. Of course, this past Sunday was Father's Day, and one of the things that touched me on Father's Day was the terrible accident on the Palisades Parkway. A beloved, I guess, deli owner, right? Anthony Apostolicio, and his son Vincent and daughter Elizabeth were driving north on the Palisades Parkway when a tree ripped through their car. Anthony was killed instantly. Vincent is in Hackensack. He was helicoptered there, and he's in critical condition. And Elizabeth was taken to Westchester Medical Center, where her leg injuries are being treated. Vincent was 20. He was driving the car. Elizabeth was in the back seat, and his dad, Anthony, was in the passenger seat. What makes this such a poignant and tragic story is the freak nature of the accident. A tree fell on the car. I mean, here you are driving, you're heading out to something or other with two of your kids, and boom, a tree falls, and that's all she wrote. And what we have left is we've got a family that's brokenhearted, a mother who's got two kids in the hospital, one in critical condition, and who's just lost her husband. And we've got two other children, because Tony and his wife had four kids, two other children who have lost their father, whose 20-year-old brother is in critical condition. And you know, and all of this happens on Father's Day. So I would like to take a moment right at the beginning of the program to pray for Anthony, for Vincent, for Elizabeth, and for the whole family, because the burden on their hearts now is something that I can't even imagine. So let's pray. Creator God, you are the one who gives us life, and you are the one who calls us home. And for reasons that we do not understand, you took a beloved member of our community home to you in the strangest of ways. I don't know if it was your will, if it was just a natural evil of life, but we ask you to fill his wife and his children with your healing love. Lift the burden of sadness and grief, and help them to know that even in this dark valley, you walk with them and you guide them and you will never abandon them. So, Father, we ask you to give them courage and strength for the hard days ahead of them. I ask you to especially be with the two kids in the hospital, Vincent and Elizabeth. Guide their doctors and their nurses and their technicians and everyone who's helping them, so that their healing may proceed well. And what the medical people are lacking, Father God, make up for that with your own wisdom and your own compassionate care. And help us, this community that has lost a beloved business owner and restaurateur and a guy who just was so kind and decent. Help us to know that somehow in all of this, you are writing straight with the crooked lines of our lives, and that you will indeed work all things to the good, because we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit. With you, they are one God, forever and ever. Amen. So, I mean, sad news to start with, but also a reminder of how fragile life is. So, as we take our lives day after day after day, it's important to realize that the day that we have, the present moment, is precious. And it doesn't matter that it's not the present moment we have planned or that we might have wanted. It is the present moment that we are in. And so the now of our lives, that's the clay that God is working with. That is how He is molding and shaping our lives. And it is occurring in this moment. I had a conversation last night on the telephone with a woman who was very upset that her life hadn't progressed the way she wanted it to. She had visions and dreams as a young woman, and now in her late 50s, it's not turned out the way she wanted it to. She's not in the place she wanted to be in. She's not in the health she wanted to have. And she was weeping. Because for her, her dreams had been shattered. And the only thing I could tell her is, wherever you are, that's where you are. And it's you that are there. It's the you who exists. Not the you you might have been, not the you you could have been, not the you you wanted to be. It is who you are now. With all your limitations, with all your foibles, with all your faults, you are the being that God loves, and He loves you just the way you are. So take advantage of the day. Take advantage of the moment and live in joy. Find some reason to feel blessed. Live in gratitude. There's a Benedictine monk, David Stendhal Rast. He's an old man now. He's in his 90s, and he's a brilliant guy too. He's a physicist or some type of. He's got a PhD in one of the sciences, but he writes beautifully about spirituality, and one of the things he teaches is to live in gratitude. Every day find something to say thank you for. Be grateful to the people around you. Be grateful to the kids who wait on you in the grocery store or serve you coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. Be grateful to your kids, to your spouses, and enjoy them, appreciate them. Don't get tied up in all the little stuff that can rob us of our joy. Don't focus on faults and failures, because those faults and failures are the warp and woof of our lives. They make us who we are. And yeah, they may be faults and they may have been failures. But right now, just the way you are, that's who God wants to work with. And He has a plan for you today. Now, it may not be, you know, you're not going to save the world today, I'm sure, but you may bring beauty and joy to somebody's life. Make that your goal. When you encounter people, be kind to them. Be aware that they carry burdens too. So we never know what somebody else is dealing with. We never know where they're coming from. We never know the heaviness of their hearts. So the trick, I think, to enjoying and living in each day is to forget about the past. The past isn't here anymore. It's just a bunch of memories that have brought us to where we are. And where we are is the best place we could be, because it's the only place we can be, here, now. And in that place, God says, come a few steps further. Follow me. Follow me, and you follow me best by letting go of your ego and yourself and your selfish interests and what you want and what you care about. And letting go of that, you can be sensitive and present to the needs of others. And I think that's something along the lines of what Jesus meant when he says, unless we lose our lives, unless we lose our egos, we can't really live. And we have a caller. Caller, how can I help you?
Good morning, Pastor.
Jimmy, how are you?
I'm okay. You started the show by describing the type of a show. It's religious what was the other word?
Spiritual.
Spiritual, right. Okay, so I have to apologize from the top that my topic may be less religion and less spiritual, okay? I like to talk about government responsibilities. When I say government, not necessarily just the federal government, but state government and local government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I want to tie it to the horrible description of the poor families that some passed away, some are in bad condition because of the trees that fell on them, okay?
Right.
And I believe that government was very, very big. And I blame the state of New York, the state of New Jersey, all the towns that along the Palisade Parkway, okay, they're all very big on collecting taxes. They make it an expertise of collecting taxes, okay? But when it comes to the responsibility, okay, maintaining road, and by this I mean also maintaining the forestry along the road, it takes many, many years for them to do anything at all, and many times they don't do it at all. I truly believe, and maybe some people disagree with me, okay, there are companies that specialize with trees, arborists, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no reason in the world where New York State, if it happened in New York State, or New Jersey, okay, shouldn't have, and I'm sure they do have arborists on the staff, okay, can have somebody go and periodically, a few times a year, okay, especially after a storm, or they know the storm is coming, and they knew the weatherman was talking about storms this weekend, okay? They should go and inspect trees all along the parkway, okay? They don't do it. They don't do it, and they let... A tree is a living thing. It has a beginning, and it has an end, okay? And sometimes its end comes faster because of nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it is their responsibility. They get paid a lot of money by all the residents that living, to protect us from this, and they neglect it, okay? It's not sexy. It's not nice, okay? It's so much nicer to go and have some kind of a parade or give some medals or stuff like this. It's so much extreme language sexy, okay? This is more dull, okay? But here you save life, but this doesn't seem to be an important thing for government, okay? Life is just a word, okay, but it's not really something that they feel that they should spend time and money on it. And what happened here is unfortunate, tragic things that happened. Last thing, I heard this morning on a show before you, they interview assemblyman, I believe, New York State here, and between the person who did the interview and the assemblyman, they agreed that the Palisade Parkway is not safe. It was built long time ago. It's two lanes, no shoulders, no lighting. Certain part of the pavement is terrible, bad drainage, and nothing is happening, or very little, or it takes a long time. And this is just something that elected officials, that they know where we are when it's time to vote for them, but after this, they're non-existent, okay? Unless you want lobbying a company or very close to the table of one of those elected official politician, okay? And to me, okay, so it may not be religious, spiritual, okay, but this is life. I believe if they would do the job like they're required to look for our safety. This is number one where we elect people here. And they failed terribly, and the family paid for it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they would use their resources, they have people, arborists, going and checking all trees along and then go and cut them or trim them or whatever, okay? That's why you have arborists. That's a specialty, okay? Tree health, you know, this family might be alive. They would share life with their loved one. Maybe if it was a businessman with his customer, they would add something to life of the society. Instead, they were taking away from us because of the negligence of government. Thank you so much, and I'm sorry I came with this dire presentation here, but that's how we see, and that's the failure of our society, unfortunately.
Thanks, Jimmy, as always, for your thoughtful call. And I think it's a reminder to government, but to all of us, really, because all of us are, in some way or another, observers of our world. We can see dangers that maybe other people can't, and perhaps alert public officials to their existence. So I think what you're saying is that we all have a responsibility to each other. We all have a responsibility to care for each other and about each other. And government is nothing but an assemblage of people, right? The government of New York is the government created by the people of New York, and those entrusted with governmental authority are charged with the caring about the health, the welfare, and the safety of all of the citizens. And in part that means being aware of dangers that may exist because infrastructure is old. The Palisades Parkway, I drive it all the time, and you're right. Getting on it and off it is, it's a risk if there's speeding cars because the on ramps are so short. And the parkway was built. In another age, when motor cars were luxuries, and people went out motoring for fun, and they weren't built for the big fancy fast cars of today, and they were built along they're built in parks. That's why they're called parkways. And so there are trees, and there's beauty all around it. But that beauty does need to be watched and cared about. And I think your call is a reminder that part of our spiritual duty, so let me get it back to spirituality, part of our spiritual duty is to watch the world around us with a gracious and mindful eye to see where there may be dangers for others or for ourselves that we can help abate, either by moving something ourselves or cutting down one of our own trees in our backyards, or by alerting a public official who, the governor doesn't travel the parkway all that much, and I don't, or the Palisades Parkway. But people need to be mindful and watching, and certainly there should be folks charged in highway departments with the maintenance of roadways, and the importance of their job is made much more clear when we see a tragedy like this that could have been averted, perhaps, if somebody just saw that the tree was weak and in a windstorm it could come crashing down. So thanks for your call. We have another caller. Caller, how are you?
Oh, hello, Pastor. This is Randy Osman, Manuette.
Randy Osman, how are you? It's good to hear your voice.
I am fine, thanks. Good to have you back. I am so upset, as a lot of people are, hearing of the tragedy that happened on the Palisades. As you know, since we're part of the church, we do have a Zoom prayer meeting every Tuesday. And I will enter Elizabeth and Anthony's name and the family, and we will pray for them for as long as it takes to get these two folks back to their families, and ask for God's help in healing the family, both physically and emotionally. It's such a tragedy. I just wanted to let you know, but to let them know and people around there that there are people that will continually pray for them. And, of course, if anybody would like to join us, you know, they can just, you know, call me and we'll get them a Zoom link. But
would you like to give your number up, or would...
Sure, okay. Sure. My number is 845-664-1455. 845-664-1455. My cell phone, and Randy is the name that comes up. So it's just these kinds of things are so tragic that I can't even imagine how the family is dealing with it. But this is a community thing where the community has to pray for them, and churches have to pray for folks who are hurting this badly. That's all I got.
No, that's that's a lot. Thank you so much.
Okay.
So, if you'd like to be part of the Zoom prayer call tonight, give Randy a call. At 7 o'clock is the call. So, but you can get a link to the Zoom, I guess, anytime you want. Randy's number is 845-664-1455. And Randy's call is a reminder of also of the importance and the power of prayer. We are galvanizing the energy, the spiritual energy of the community when we pray. Our prayers are added to the prayers of others. So the more people praying for this family, the more power and the more energy and the more godliness flows into their lives through those prayers. And I don't know how it works, to tell you the truth. That's above my pay grade. But I know that it does. I know that prayer is powerful and important. And the prayer, of James says, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So I don't know where you think you are in the righteousness scale. But righteousness is simply trying to do the will of God. I mean, it's nothing special. It's nothing, you know, you don't have a halo when you're righteous. You have the will in your heart to be doing God's will rather than your own. And when there's a conflict. And your prayer, wherever you are in the righteousness scale, will avail much. So please, 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 if you can join this prayer Zoom meeting at 7 o'clock this evening, but if you can't, pray separately. And we'll put the Apostolicio family on our prayer list at church, so that we will be reminded every week at our worship to pray for this family, who is going through such a painful time right now, and will be for a long time. Their lives are changed forever, and somehow God is in the mix, and somehow, you know, with every death there is a resurrection. There is life that comes out of death. That's the Christian message, that death does not get the last word. Life does. And that means we believe that there is a life beyond the physical, fleshy life that we see and that we are born into, and ultimately all of us will die out of. That there is something more, and that in the end, God will make all things new. And that's the promise of both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, that there is a planfulness to the creative love of God, and that He will not be thwarted. Not by trees on parkways, not by wars in far-off places, not by crummy politics here at home. God will not be mocked, and God will not be thwarted. And He is in charge. Thanks be to God. So, Randy, thanks for that great call. And if anybody else would like to call, Our number is 845-429-1700. While we're talking about prayer healing prayer, because this what we're asking is the healing prayer for the Apostolicio family, but we also have a healing service coming up at Clarkstown Reformed Church this Saturday, 11:30 in the church. It is not, you know, just for Protestants, or certainly not for members of the Reformed Church only. It is for everyone who wants to be prayed for. Prayer is a universal thing. We can pray for Catholics, we can pray for Protestants, we can pray for Jews, we can pray for Muslims. And so if you would like to be prayed for, and if you'd like us to pray for your healing, we will have ministers present. We will be anointing you with oil, just like they did in the old days, and we will be asking God's love and healing spirit to enter you and your bodies and your spirits and your souls. If you come for prayer, that's what happens. And you don't have to come up. You know, we pray individually over people who would like that, but some people are shy, and you don't have to do that. You can be part of the larger crowd. But I can tell you this: wonderful things have happened at these services. None of them has been big, but in terms of, you know, for example, you're not going to get into a traffic jam getting to church that day. But each one of them has had some amazing healing occur that makes you scratch your head and say, "Wow, you know, God is great." And so come and see the greatness for yourself. And I can't guarantee anything earth-shaking will happen, but so far, these quiet little miracles have occurred, and I expect them to continue to occur. Today is also graduation day at Clarkstown South. How do I know that? I know that because as I was driving to the studio today, I saw one of those electric signs that they put up that say, you know, danger, construction, stuff like that. And the sign said, "Expect delays. Clarkstown South graduation today." So that was my church, the Clarkstown Reformed Church, is literally adjacent to Clarkstown South. Well, we're across the street from it, anyhow. We're sort of in their backyard. I walk my dogs up Samantha Way every day, and Samantha is my church. Our church is on the south side of the street, and the Clarkstown North is on the north side of the street. So I feel like the Clarkstown South is like my high school. And sometimes, in fact, often, some of the parents and kids who play on the baseball team will park in the church parking lot because it's easier to park there and jump the fence, because God forbid that the authorities would unlock it for them. It's easier to park it in the church parking lot and jump the fence than to park at the school parking lot and walk the extraordinarily long distance to get to the baseball field. So I've over the years I've gotten to know some of the parents, some of the kids. As a matter of fact, one day after a baseball practice, I was coming back with my dogs, and there were some kids from the baseball team playing with a basketball, and one was pretending to be the hoop, and the other was trying to throw the ball through the hoop. And since the hoop was, you know, no more than 4.5 or 5 feet off the ground, he didn't have a hard time making the shot. But I said to him, I said, "Well, you know, if I had a basketball hoop in the back of the church, would you guys use it?" And they said, "Oh, yeah. So I had one put back there, and to my knowledge, they haven't used it yet. Or maybe they've used it once or twice. But if you are on the Clarkstown South parent squad and your son or daughter, for that matter, would like to play basketball, the hoop is right behind the church, and anybody, any of the kids are welcome to play there. because we are a welcoming and hospitable place. And that's sort of a throwaway line, but let me stop on it for a while, because God wants us to be hospitable. Hospitality is a great spiritual discipline. So how do we take that into our lives? We take it into our lives, I think, by realizing that however we can welcome people, that's a beautiful thing. And it can touch people in ways that we never imagine they will be touched. Let me give you an example from my recent trip to Pella, Iowa. If you listened last week, you know that the show, at least my part of it, was phoned in from Pella, Iowa, which is a beautiful little gem of a town about, I'd say an hour away from Des Moines by car. Pella was founded by Dutch refugees from religious persecution in Holland, and it still has this incredible Dutch flavor. There are more windmills. I think I saw more windmills during my week in Pella than I've seen than the rest of my life put together. They have one authentic windmill that they can move the top around to find where the wind is, and it actually grinds up flour. That one of the local bakeries, because they have more bakeries than you can shake a stick at, turns into Pella bread. But all by way of saying that, and the people are so lovely. So anyhow, I guess it was Sunday, a week ago yesterday, I went out to for lunch with a wonderful guy. Edward, am I forgetting his last name? Edward, I'm missing his last name. Luingo or something like that. He's a minister from Arizona. Edward Lungu. He's a prison chaplain out in Arizona. But he's also a refugee, I guess you'd call him, from Zambia. And he's very interested in starting a school in Zambia. And he discovered that I have some background in higher education, and he'd like to start a nursing school. So anyhow, he grabbed me, and we went out to lunch with his wife. His wife was there, too, to talk about his dreams in Zambia and, you know, where they could build the school and how they could build the school and what the curriculum would look like, and on it went. So at the end of the meal, I asked for the check as I was going to pick it up. And the waitress came over and she said, somebody paid for you. This has never happened to me. I said, huh? They said, yeah, the people who were sitting behind you paid your check. And, you know, that was such a touching gesture of kindness that I don't think I will ever forget it. And I don't know who they were. They left before I discovered that they had paid. And I had no way of knowing who they would be. And they told the waiter not to bring us the check until they had left. So it was a completely anonymous act of kindness, an act of hospitality. And I thought to myself, holy crow, what a wonderful thing to do. And what a wonderful thing maybe that I can do sometime for someone else when I try to pay it forward. Again in Pella, this might have been my last day there, there's a wonderful little bookstore, and you can get croissants there and donuts and stuff like that. But they have all sorts of teas and coffees, and it's your sort of a don't want to call it like a Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks, but it's got that array of food. And then they have a bookstore in the back, and they've got all these wonderful little things that you can get, the signs, and it's a very godly place. They play religious music over the loudspeakers, and that you can buy magnets for your refrigerator there that say, in God all things are possible. So it's a great store. I loved it there. I would go when I had some time off, and I'd do some reading and just sit there and have a glass of iced tea or something. And the last day I was there, I went and I ordered a glass of iced tea. And they brought it to me, and I said, well, what do I owe you? And they said, nope, somebody paid for it. Somebody had gone in that morning and given the store $100 and said, look, if anybody buys a single item, a single, you know, cup of tea, glass of iced tea, we'd like to pay that for them because we are paying it forward. And I asked them to explain what that meant, and she said, well, they had some sadness in their life, and they just wanted to do something for someone else. They wanted to be kind. And that, again, so touched me, because kindness is healing. When you do something for someone else, you lift yourself also out of your own stew. And you begin to feel better because you are doing the work of God. What they did was loving, and God is love. And everything we do that is loving matters. It is what abides. And so my suggestion for all of us when we feel a little glum is go out and, you know, do something for someone else. I think Carl Menninger, the psychiatrist, who wrote, he was one of the founders of the Menninger Clinic out in the Midwest. He said, when you're feeling terrible about yourself, get out of your house, go across the tracks, and do something for somebody. And that's therapeutic. So let me leave all of us who may be a little glum today about things with that suggestion, that rather than stewing in our own juice, let's get out of the stew for a bit, get out of the house, and do something kind. It doesn't have to be big. You know, picking up the lunch of three people at lunch, it wasn't that much. You know, buying a cup of tea is even less. But it meant so much. So the difference isn't at all quantifiable by what you spend or how much it costs you. It's the thoughtfulness and kindness that matters. You know, you don't know how much you lift somebody's spirits just by acknowledging them. Because sometimes people feel so low and so down that they don't feel of any value at all. They're like the chewing gum on the bottom of your shoe after you've been in the subway in New York. And when you say hi, when you greet them and see them as a person rather than as a functionary, when you make a connection, when you look the guy who's packing your groceries in the eye and say, thank you, this means so much to me, and say it from your heart, that's all you need to do sometimes. So look for those opportunities for kindness. So I'm giving you a lot of work to do this show. I want you to look for opportunities and things to be grateful for. And I want you to get out of yourself and look for ways to be kind. And if you come in contact with any of the seniors from Clarkstown South High School, congratulate them. And for the remainder of the afternoon, or I guess morning and early afternoon, avoid the roads around Clarkstown South because there may be traffic. Again, if you would like to call and share something with us about spirituality, about faith and religion, about anything for that matter, give us a call, 845-429-1700. Also coming up at the Clarkstown Reformed Church on the 3rd of July, we have the Clarkstown crew baseball outing. This all started when our Ava Aston, who is going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Let us know, let me know that she was going to be singing the anthem at the July 3rd game. So we began to get tickets, and I have about 10 left for the baseball game on July 3rd. We're going to go there and do some tailgating. Our own John Palumbo is going to be the master chef for the tailgate. We're going to have sausage and peppers and onions, I guess, and hot dogs, hamburgers, and assorted beverages of a non-alcoholic nature, I think. And if you would like to join us and come and cheer for Ava and then root for the home team and see the 4th of July fireworks after the game, give us a call, and I've got a few free tickets that I can give you. So please give a call if you would like to join us in our baseball outing, and we would love to have you. We've given away about 5 tickets already, 5-6, so we'll also have a little radio crew there. Again, the number 845-429-1700. Yesterday was also Juneteenth, and I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge it, because Juneteenth is the day that the news of the Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation reached sort of the farthest reaches of the South and was proclaimed in Texas. And it was a big day in Texas, but only recently has become an important day here. Just a reminder to us that Juneteenth is the day that we celebrate the reality that in our country there are no slaves or free. We are all one. You know, Paul says to the Galatians, there are no Jews, no Greeks, no slaves, no free, no male, no female. All are one in Christ. And the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation, all of that reminds us that in this country, white people, black people, all sorts of people contributed to the great conflict that ended slavery. Hundreds of thousands of lives were lost. But as a result, we became a more just country. And we can celebrate Juneteenth together because it is an American holiday. It's not a black holiday. It's not a white holiday. It's everybody's holiday. Because it celebrates emancipation. It celebrates freedom. And God is the giver of liberty. So it's in a way a very religious day. So thank you to the government for recognizing Juneteenth. And thank you for all of the people over the course of our history who have struggled so that we could become and remain free of slavery and free of tyranny. We have another caller. Caller, can I help you?
Hello, Pastor Rich. This is Barbara.
Barbara, how are you?
Okay. I wanted to ask you, on Sunday, you talked about the Bible study coming up this Wednesday, and you said you're going to be doing the Book of Romans. Could you talk a little bit about the Book of Romans and what inspired you to start this Bible study and how everyone can join in?
Absolutely. Thanks, Barb. And yes, we'll be doing a Bible study. We're going to start the Book of Romans on Wednesday. Romans is one of the most powerful letters that Paul, and influential letters that Paul wrote. Unlike his other letters, which were written to communities he founded and to people he knew, Romans was written to introduce himself to the community of Christians in Rome, which he was intending to visit. And so it's one of his most intensely theological and most beautifully challenging letters. Romans introduces his notion that we are saved through faith in Christ by grace alone. And what he means by this is relationships. Relationship saves us. And this is one of the themes of Romans, that it is our relationship with Christ Jesus that gives us salvation, that makes us God's people, that brings us into God's kingdom, not sometime down the pike in the future, but right now. Jesus himself always taught that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is now. Don't look around the corner. Don't go look over there or over here. The kingdom of God is within you. So that's one of Paul's insights. What focused me on Paul is because when I was in Iowa last week, I read Romans. I read through Romans again, and I was so, impressed by the beauty of the book and its teachings. I'm just flipping to it now because I have my trusty Bible with me. It is the first of Paul's letters in the New Testament. And for any of you who think that they're arranged chronologically, they're not. They're arranged by length. So it's the longest of Paul's letters as well. He writes, for example, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character and character, hope, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So listen to that. Listen to that as we talk about suffering, as we endure our own sufferings, because all of us, we get sick sometimes, and all of us are, nobody's getting younger. So our bodies start failing us, but he says, we also glory in our suffering. There's a gratitude for you, right? And why? Because suffering produces perseverance. It makes me more patient. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. So by persevering and by developing our character, we also come to a place of hope, because we hope in the God who promises us that he will make all things new. So that's just one example of one of the amazing things that I found in Romans as I read over it. And I would invite anybody who would like to join us. We start at 6:30 on tomorrow, Wednesday, and we will continue until we finish Romans. So thanks for the question. Did you have any thoughts about Romans yourself, Barb?
Not particularly, but yes, I'm really looking forward to the Bible study, and my husband told me he is as well. So we'll be there, and we'll be happy to see anyone who comes. And that's at 107 Strawtown Road in West Orange.
Yes, it is, in the Fellowship Hall downstairs. I'm flipping through Romans as we're talking, and some of the accept one another, he writes, just as Christ accepted you. So when we have our little differences with each other, and I come from an Irish family, so there are loads of grudges. Somebody said that Irish Alzheimer's is that you forget everything but the grudges. That Paul is saying, I think here, forget the grudges, forget the grudges too, and overlook all those things that we could get cranky about, because look at how our faults and failings and sin has been overlooked by the Christ who has accepted us, who has died for us, and who has called us to be his own. So, great stuff in Romans. It's the longest of Paul's letters. It's probably the last one he wrote, and I'm pretty sure of that. And it's a very important and influential letter. Luther was reading Romans when he came to his insights about religion and Reformation. Luther was plagued by conscience. He was a very sensitive guy in terms of conscience. And so he agonized over his sins, even little sins. And then he read Romans, that you are saved by grace, that you don't need to do anything for that salvation. It's given to you. It's a free gift, no strings attached. And it was like a liberation for him. And it was that brought him to his insights that formed the basis of the Protestant principles. We are saved by Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. How does he know that? Because our authority is in Scripture alone. So Luther then, armed with that, began to challenge the corruption which was rife in Christianity before the revolution that he started. And we are blessed that he read Romans, and we are blessed that he lit the match that began the protest to church corruption that has given us a variety of ways in which we can still be Christians and not be subject to that corruption. So, thank you, Paul, and thank you, Martin, and God bless us all.
God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you very much, Barb. Thanks for the call. You're the best. And we have one more call here, I think, coming in. So if we have time for it, we do.
Oh,
caller, how can I?
Hi, Pastor Rich. It's Franny.
Hi, Franny. How are you?
How you doing? I know. I just realized it. I don't know if you can hear me. Oh, God. They're working on my bathroom.
Well, I hope they're doing a good job.
Yes, yes. I'm going to get taking the tub out and getting, a shower for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, that I could get in and out.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. But I hope you had a good Father's Day. Oh,
very nice. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. And, God, what a shame, you know, that story.
Oh, terrible.
You never know. You never know going out something or what. It's not safe anymore anyway. It's just awful, awful to hear this.
Well, keep praying and trusting in God.
I do, Father, yes. I know, Pastor Rich, yeah. All right, I'll let you go.
Thanks, Franny. I think we're just about out of time anyhow.
Yes, I know. I didn't realize it afterwards.
Take care, sweetie. God bless. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. Come back next week for another edition of Faith Unscripted. Until that time, I'm Pastor Rich Hasselbeck from the Clarkstown Reformed Church. God bless you and keep you. Amen.